The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
I identify myself as a Bible-believing, unashamed follower of Jesus Christ. I believe the Bible, I follow Jesus, and I'm not ashamed to say so. The answer is not in the next election. The answer is not in Washington, D.C. The answer to America's problems is in the pulpit and the pews of America's churches. That's what we do here daily on Bob Burney Live. We listen, we think, and then we look at the Word of God, evaluate it, and develop our worldview from God's point of view.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the participants and may not be the views or opinions of the staff, management, or advertisers of WRFD.
Isn't it strange how that you take two pieces of material, you can take wood, you can take plastic, you can take anything, and you can put them in any configuration until you put them perpendicular to each other and make a cross? The Word of God. Read it. Obey it. That is the answer to America's problems.
Call 1-877-BOB-LIVE. Bob Burney Live.
Welcome to Bob Burney Live on this Thursday afternoon. My telephone number is 877-BOB-LIVE. 877-262-5483. Liberty University is in the news again. For the past couple of years, but particularly the last year, they have been in the news a lot, but they're almost always on the defensive. Mainstream media has attacked them for this, attacked them for that. The last big one was a major New York Times story that people just went ballistic over. It said Jerry Falwell Jr. told all the Lynchburg University or the Liberty University students, come on back, y'all. You know, on the COVID-19 thing, the New York Times implied they were opening the campus wide open. And of course, everybody was going to die. They were reporting that students had the virus and Falwell was going to be guilty of their sickness and their death. And many of you remember that. A whole lot of people in the Christian community got really bent out of shape about Liberty. How could Jerry Falwell Jr. do this? How could Liberty University do this? Well, none of it was true. They did allow students to come back on campus who, number one, were international students and had no place else to go. And number two, domestic students that really didn't want to leave. They wanted to stay on campus. Liberty did not just willy-nilly open the doors to any of the students that wanted to come back. And the bottom line, and the most important thing, evidently not one student tested positive for the COVID-19 virus. Well, Liberty is fighting back. They have filed a $10 million defamation suit against the New York Times for, quote, a made-up and damaging story that falsely charged that students returning from spring break became infected with the coronavirus because the school stayed open. It is a 100-page suit filed in Virginia's Lynchburg Circuit Court. The school charged the New York Times reporter Elizabeth Williamson and photographer Julia Rindelman ignored no trespassing signs to tour the campus at a time when the school was trying to keep outsiders who could potentially be infected with the COVID-19 away. The story broke on March 29th. The story suggested several students were infected after returning from spring break. But in fact, no student, staffer, or faculty member on campus was or became infected. So Liberty is fighting back now. Will Liberty win? I doubt it. Should they sue? Absolutely. For principle's sake. And possibly as a shot across the bow to publications like the New York Times and others who often print absolutely fallacious articles, particularly about Christians, political conservatives, and so forth. It is extremely, extremely, extremely difficult to win a defamation suit against the media. It's very difficult, and it should be. It should be extremely difficult. The media, hey, listen, freedom of the press here in America is extremely important. So, again, I'm not a legal expert. I think their chances of actually winning are slim, but I'm glad they're taking the New York Times to court. Maybe it would cause the New York Times or the Washington Post or the Los Angeles Times or the Miami Herald or any other left-leaning major media source, maybe it will cause them to pause before they write something so salacious. So anyway, we will see. The suit has just been filed in Lynchburg's circuit court. We will keep an eye on that. As you know, takes time for these things to wind through the courts. Speaking of courts, the folks at Pew Research Center has just released a study comparing Donald Trump with past presidents as far as the appointment of federal judges. Get this, point number one in this research, and I quote, Trump has now appointed almost one quarter of all acting federal judges in the United States. As of July 7th, there were 792 active judges serving across the three main tiers of the federal court system, the Supreme Court, 13 regional appeals courts, and 91 district courts, etc. And Donald Trump has appointed nearly one-fourth, nearly one-fourth of all federal judges. Now, he hasn't completed his first term, but how does he stack up against other presidents? So far, Donald Trump has appointed 194 active judges. Barack Obama, 312. But that was in two terms. So at this point in his presidency, Donald Trump has appointed more federal judges than any president in recent history. George W. Bush, in two full terms, 166 judges. Bill Clinton, in two full terms, 87. Well, think of the comparison. Donald Trump, in one term, 194. Obama, in two terms, 312. Bill Clinton in two terms, 87. George H.W. Bush in one term, 14. And this one shocks me. Ronald Reagan, 18. And Jimmy Carter in his one full term as president, 1. Say what? 1. So at this point, Donald Trump has appointed 24% of all active judges. Barack Obama, in two terms, appointed 39% of all active judges. But again, that is in two terms. Now, I have no idea how to predict if Trump serves a second term. But if he continues on the pace that he is now, by the time he is finished with his second term, he will have appointed approximately 50% of all active judges in the federal judiciary. The reason judges are getting older, they are leaving office more often than in the past. So as I was talking yesterday with Dr. Michael Brown about why evangelicals, in spite of character issues, in spite of other issues concerning Trump, when it comes to the courts, Donald Trump has kept his word. He has appointed conservative constitutionalist judges, and his presidency has changed the U.S. judiciary for generations. If he is reelected, he could be the most influential president concerning judges in American history. Yeah, think about that.
Bob Burney Live.
Looking at today's news through a biblical worldview.
All right, I really don't plan on talking much today about the whole COVID-19 thing. We've talked probably about it too much. That's all we hear about. I keep trying to be a voice of reason, of calm, of balance, trying to assure all of us, yeah, this should be taken seriously, but we should not in any way, shape or form, live in fear. We really shouldn't. The number of deaths across America continues to decline. And we've talked about the reason why there are more cases and so forth. And again, I'm not going to get into that. But I've got to say this about the masks, okay? This is my editorial comment. You ready? Two words. Stop it! Stop what? Judging other people concerning this whole mask thing. Stop it! Now, if you really believe that the masks are going to help, that they're going to stop this virus, that it's going to keep you safe and other people, you are really concerned or convinced of that, fine, wear your mask. But stop judging other people and saying ludicrous, ridiculous things like, if you don't wear a mask, you are selfish. You don't care if other people die. Stop it. Okay, you're convinced that you should wear a mask and others should wear a mask. Fine. It's okay. But stop judging other people who don't wear the masks. If they really work and you see a person without a mask, then you're protected. And if you don't believe that, then stay 6 feet away from them, okay? Stop it. Particularly Christians, stop it. Now, the flip side. If you are absolutely convinced that the masks don't work, all of the scientific evidence says it's more harm than good and people are going to die just because they're wearing the mask and it's ridiculous and it's government overreach and it's part of a grand conspiracy, okay, fine, then don't wear a mask. But stop it. Stop judging the people who do. Stop calling them cowards. Stop calling them names. Stop berating them because they have chosen to wear a mask. What do you know? Maybe they are high risk. Maybe they have heart problems, diabetes. Maybe they have other problems. and maybe they shouldn't even be out in public, but they're risking it and they're going to wear a mask. Fine. Stop judging other people. Whatever side of the issue you are on, that's fine. And personally, and this is going to upset some of you, I know that. I know this is going to upset some of you. For me, and I'm talking about this personally, this is not a hill to die on. I read on Facebook every day, they're going to take me to jail before I'll wear a mask. They'll have to come and arrest me before I'll wear a mask. Really? Seriously? I'll never shop at Walmart again because they're requiring masks. Really? Now, first, if we really respect people's rights, then a particular company, whether it's Walmart or Kroger's or whatever, if they decide it is in their best interest to require masks, more power to them. They're a private company. They can do what they want to do. And if you don't agree, then don't shop there. For me, I hate wearing a mask. I despise it. And when I say I hate wearing a mask, I mean capital H, capital A, capital T, capital E, and a huge exclamation point at the end. I hate it. But guess what? Troy and I went to lunch today. We're in Franklin County. We have a mandate to wear a mask from the car to the table. I put my mask on. Hated every minute of it. But this is, for me, this is not a hill to die on. We have problems in our schools. We have issues about education coming this fall. We have issues about educational reform. We have defunding of the police. We have rising violence in our cities. We have some governments trying to shut down churches. Now, that is a hill to die on. Wearing a mask, very inconvenient. I hate it. But it's no big deal. And it's going to be over. We don't know when, but it's going to be over. But bottom line, back to my editorial comment. Stop judging other people. While I was editorializing, I just saw a Facebook post condemning anyone who doesn't wear a mask. It means they don't care. They don't care about other people. But then you can find the other. Everybody who wears a mask is nothing but a coward. They're letting the government tell them what to do. They're nothing but stop it! Particularly Christians, particularly in the church, stop it! And pray for pastors in making decisions concerning this issue and others. Don't let this divide us.